because that's kind of part of it. But, you know, there's those cheesy Christian movies out there, too, that I'm sure a lot of you have seen. I won't name any by name, but, you know, the plots are usually going something like this. You know, it starts out, and there's these challenges that the main characters are facing, and these horrible things that are going on in their life, and things are just so bad. And then there's this dramatic scene where they finally just give it all up and cry out to God and worship Him and ask Him for help. And somehow, against all odds, God always comes through in these movies. 100% of the time. You know, if there's something wrong with the family, God heals the family. If there's something wrong at work, God takes care of it. You know, the underdog on the basketball team always makes the game-winning shot, and somehow his name's always David. I don't know how that works. But it seems to never fail that in these movies that God always comes through and gives these people what they wanted, what they needed, right? Well, what those movies don't really help you with, what if God doesn't heal the problems like you wanted Him to? What if God doesn't take away the pain like you wanted Him to? What if God doesn't give you the job or the career that you wanted? You know, what if your favorite team doesn't win the big game? You know, these movies are great for feeling good and being reminded of what God can do, but He doesn't always do it. So how do we respond to that? You know, I thought we could stand up here. I could stand up here for a few minutes and just call out and ask you guys to yell up what you're thankful for, and that would be fine. But I decided that I wanted to talk a little bit out of the book of Job, and kind of what I call this little message, if you want to call it that, is staying thankful when you don't feel like it. Staying thankful when you don't feel like it. You know, if you have any familiarity with the book of Job at all, obviously there's a lot of negative things happening to him throughout that book. He loses pretty much just about everything. And where I want to pick it up is in Job 38, verse 4. And Scott and Debbie, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, so don't worry. Oh, look at that. Man, that was quick. My goodness, well done. And I'm going to try to read through this fairly quickly. Read it on the screen behind me. If you got a Bible, read it there. Listen to me if neither one of those options are good enough for you. And I just kind of want to walk through this with you. Picking up in verse 4. This is God speaking. Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who fixed its dimensions? Certainly you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? What supports its foundations? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who enclosed the sea behind doors when it burst from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and total darkness its blanket? When I determined its boundaries and put its bars and doors in place, when I declared, you may come this far, but no farther. Your proud waves stop here. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning or assigned the dawn its place, so it may seize the edges of the earth and shake the wicked out of it? The earth is changed as clay is by a seal. Its hills stand out like the folds of a garment. Light is withheld from the wicked, and the arm raised in violence is broken. Have you traveled to the sources of the sea or walked in the depths of the oceans? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the extent of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the road to the home of light? Do you know where darkness lives so you can lead it back to its border? Are you familiar with the paths to its home? Don't you know? You were already born. You have lived so long. Have you entered the place where the snow is stored? Or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I hold in reserve for times of trouble, for the day of warfare and battle? What road leads to the place where light is dispersed? Where is the source of the east wind that spreads across the earth? Who cuts a channel for the flooding rain or clears the way for lightning to bring rain on an uninhabited land, on a desert with no human life, to satisfy the parched wasteland and cause the grass to sprout? Does the rain have a father? Who fathered the drops of dew? Whose womb did the ice come from? Who gave birth to the frost of heaven when water becomes hard as stone and the surface of the watery depths is frozen? Can you fasten the chains of the Pleiades or loosen the belt of Orion? Can you bring out the constellations in their season and lead the bear and her cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you impose its authority on earth? Can you command the clouds so that a flood of water covers you? Can you send out lightning bolts and they go? Do they report to you, "Here we are"? I'm going to stop right there. This is God talking. Very powerful language. I won't get into what happens after this conversation. We'll talk about that a little later. But obviously what God is talking about is, yeah, you're in a bad spot. You don't feel good about your situation. Maybe you're a little confused at what's going on and why God is doing that, why God is allowing these things to happen. Why are these things not working out the way you wanted them to? And this is God's response to that situation. You know, there's a couple things that I want to touch on. I want to point out, you know, among other things, God talks about the depths of the ocean, and he also talks about the universe, talks about the stars in the sky. It's starting to get to where we're having those clear, cold nights, and I was out last night taking the dog out, and it was clear, and I could see Orion really well. Sure, if a lot of you all live out further than I do, you can probably see even more of the stars than I can. But there's nothing quite like a perfectly dark night, and you look up at the sky, and I mean, all those stars, right? Isn't it amazing? And you know what people, astronomers, are looking at? They're trying to figure out how to measure the universe. And it turns out that this big universe that God has made, it's not shrinking, it's still growing and expanding and getting bigger. And it's getting bigger in such a way that we have not even figured out how to measure it yet. We can't even figure out how to measure even how fast it's growing yet. God knows. He also talks about oceans. 95% of the world's oceans have not been explored. Ocean floor, not been explored. Scientists estimate that about 91% of the species of animals and plants that live in the ocean have not even been discovered yet. 91%. Think about all the fish and all the animals that we know of in the water, and we've only discovered 9 out of every 100 of them. Think about that for a while. That's still a lot to find. But God knows. You look at verse 16. He asked Job, he says, "Have you traveled to the sources of the sea? Have you walked in the depths of the ocean? I haven't. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't. I have no clue what it's like down there. And then he talks about bringing out the constellations in their season in verse 31 and 32 and 33. He says, do you know the laws of heaven? We don't know the laws of heaven. We can't measure the universe. We can't figure out how to measure the universe. We don't know. But here's the thing. God knows everything. God has been, is, and will be everywhere. Not just here, everywhere in his creation. He can do anything. He sees everything. He controls everything. Has power and authority over everything. And I read you this because I want to get you to something we all need to understand. And Isaiah 55 hits on this. God operates at a much higher level than we do. A higher level to the point that we can't even comprehend it. If you look at Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. He says, for heaven is higher than earth. You see, we think we have this idea in our head of what heaven's going to be like. We think we know what it looks like. Maybe you picture this place that's like all sparkly, you know, and, you know, there's like no pollution, and you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's just perfect, and it's green and sparkly, and, you know, everything's just great. I don't know what image of heaven you have in your head, but let me tell you this. The idea you have in your head doesn't even come close to what it actually is. Because this verse in Isaiah tells us that. Heaven is higher than earth, meaning where God is, where God lives, and who God is so far beyond our comprehension that we can't even come close to figuring it out. He is operating at a much higher level than we are. And the thing about it is that we so oftentimes think we know what we want. We think we know what's best for us and our families. We think we know how we want things to work out in our lives. But do we really? We may think we do. But do we really know what we need? Do we really know what's going to make us the happiest and bring us the most joy? Last passage I want to direct you to is in Romans, chapter 8, very familiar verse, chapter 8, verse 28. It says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. All things are working together for your good, if you love God. Now the thing we got to remember about is this is the hard part. We read that and we're like, oh, that makes me feel good. And you hear like songs, Christian songs written about it. And you know, people, you know, will have those real fancy like little wooden pieces with the fancy words and letters that say that verse on it. And that's fine. It is a very hopeful verse. But you got to read that and be careful. Notice that it doesn't say, we know that all good things work together for the good of those who love God. It says all things, meaning there's some good things. What's the opposite of good? Bad. And that's the problem. We got to remember that when this says for the good of those who love God, good isn't always what we think it is. Good isn't always what we want it to be. Sometimes things happen in our lives, we're like, how could this possibly be good? How could this possibly be what's best for me? The path to get where we want to go, it's not always easy, and it's not always fun, and it doesn't always make sense to us. the promise that we see in that verse is that God is ordering everything. Everything. Good, bad, in between. For believers, so that all of life's experiences work together for our ultimate good. You know, not everything is good just in and of itself. Not everything feels good. Not everything is fun. But what a Christian can hold on to is that God is using every single experience to get us where we need to be. That's what we have to hold on to. The first step is understanding that God's operating at a much higher level than we are. You got to understand that right off the bat. So when you say these things like, God, how could you let this happen to me? God, how could you do this? How could you allow these things to go on? What you have to realize is that we will never understand the reasons. But what we can understand is that if we are in Christ, God is using every experience we have to bring us closer and closer to Him for our ultimate good. Do you remember how Job ends? Remember what happens at the end of Job? Does Job die alone and poor with no money? And no, he doesn't. You know, the last little passage is actually titled in the Bible, God Restores Job. That's what He does to people who love Him. Not just on a daily basis, but ultimately, when this life is over, and everything that we struggle with and everything that's difficult is gone, we will be 100% completely restored, just like Job was. And that's the day I'm looking forward to. So it's not always easy to be thankful. Sometimes we'd rather complain when things don't work out the way we want. But we got to remember that God's way up here, and He's thinking and operating way up here. And as long as we love Him, He's using everything to get us closer to where we need to be. Let's pray. Father, thank You for these passages. Thank You for what we can learn from them. And I pray that we would take this to heart, that we would live this out, that we would not be people who complain, but we would just remember that what You're doing is within Your plan, and it makes sense to You, and that just needs to be good enough for us sometimes. Pray that You'd give us peace when we don't understand, and that we would just try to find You in everything that we're doing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scott.